This is for the culture. That's right. If it is up
Hello, Newark, and everyone listening in. I'm here with my co-host, Desiree Hadley. Welcome to episode 11 of season 3 of Raz in 60. September is back to school month, and appropriately, National Literacy Month. On September 8th, the world recognized International Literacy Day to raise awareness about the importance of literacy as a fundamental human right. Again, literacy is a fundamental human right. Why? Because, you know, in order to participate in democracy, you need to at least be literate to understand the issues and the things that are happening, the policies and laws that are being created in the country that you're in. And because as the key to knowledge and understanding, literacy liberates us to engage with the world in a way that promotes freedom and advancement for all, and justice and health for our planet as well. Literate, engaged human beings promote a more healthy and democratic society. And as a former principal and educator, I know that the connection between childhood reading proficiency, high school graduation, and life success. During the pandemic, young people experienced learning loss at an alarming rate. In 2022, the Newark test results of the NJSLA literacy test showed only 19% of third graders passed. Newark's literacy passing rate for all grades was 27% in 2022. Sobering, some of those statistics are changing by God's grace moving since the last test, but reality demands that the city as a collective to begin to immediately address this and spring into action. In light of it all, I convened a coalition of experts to form a brain trust to research, study, and develop a strategy to address the literacy challenges in this city. Over the summer, we unveiled a 10-point youth literacy action plan. It outlined 10 actionable steps that schools, parents, and community organizations will undertake now and in the coming school year to put our city students back on track. Today, we'll be discussing this plan with the Brain Trust experts helping to carry out our literacy mission. We will speak to the Chief Education Officer, Dr. Sharnay Brown, Assistant Superintendent of Newark Board of Education, Dr. Marianne Riley, Director of Community Engagement, Karen Leach Toomer, and the new director of the Newark Public Library, Christian Shabrisky. Before we begin our discussion about the 10-point youth literacy program, my co-host Desiree will get into some Newark news.
All right. Thank you so much for that introduction, Mayor. I'm excited about today's show. But before we start, like you said, let's get into some Newark news. Recently, the Mulberry Commons Pedestrian Bridge, on September 19th, you broke ground on the Mulberry Commons Pedestrian Bridge. This has been under works for a while now. Some of the advantages to this bridge includes connecting the downtown Newark area and Mulberry Commons to the IM-bound, providing direct access to Newark Penn Station, encouraging a more walkable city and attracting investors and investments. That was an exciting groundbreaking. It's been in the making. It's the second phase of that Mulberry Commons park, right?
Yes.
Yep. And inclusionary zoning and other news, let's talk about that. It was announced earlier this month of September that an August 2nd amendment to the Newark Inclusionary Zoning Ordinance initiated by yourself and passed by the Municipal Council will permit the city to exclusively market new affordable units to residents of Newark during a 90-day period. This will ensure more residents within our city can benefit from the affordable units that are developed within the city, which is great news for residents here. They get first dibs, basically, on those new units, affordable units that come in, that are, you know, opened within the city of Newark.
Yeah.
Yep. So.
Yep. Let's welcome our first two guests. First, as joining us is the City of Newark's Chief Education Officer, Dr. Sharnay Brown, and the Assistant Superintendent of the Newark Board of Education, Dr. Marianne Riley. Glad to have them both with us today. All right. Again, thank you, ladies, for being on Raz in 60 podcast with us today, talking about our literacy efforts in the city, 10-point literacy action plan. I'm going to start with you, Dr. Brown. Could you just provide the listeners an overview of what the 10-point literacy action plan is?
Yes. Basically, it is a call to unite all the resources within the city to address the urgency of the literacy crisis that's happening. Test scores, especially post-COVID, have represented that there's been a dip a decrease in an already existing problem, right? And so that thus causes a deeper urgency, like COVID did for a lot of issues. And basically, the mayor called the brain trust to say, we are too resource rich, right? And there's too many experts in the city that we can't address this and solve this for our young people. And so basically, they came together and came up with a 10-point plan to address the literacy crisis. And so that's the overview of what the 10-point plan, how it was created, and what it's intended to do.
So how do you think that this will change the trajectory of, you know, the students, the city, the lives of people this plan be enacted?
What I love to say is it's not just 10 points, right? It's research-based. So there's nothing in this plan that they can't go into the literature, do a lit review, and see what moves literacy. And so basically the mayor pretty much said, if you can only give them 10 things, right? And it's broken up into three parts, what communities can do, what parents can do, and what the schools can do. And basically, we're all taking a responsibility. If people buy in collectively for this, oh, it will work.
Right.
This is research-based. I believe it'll have a deep impact, a lasting impact. And so that's why I'm excited about it.
Right. So Dr. Riley, just talking about North Public Schools, mm-hmm. and, you know, this is a challenging thing for us. And why do you think it's necessary to implement something like this? And, you know, what is your opinion about what's happening?
Sure. So good morning. Without question, our data tells us that we need to improve. And the 10-point literacy plan, along with the district initiatives, will absolutely improve outcomes. I can tell you, looking at our data right now, that 30 of our elementary schools increased from 22 to 23. We see that as a significant gain.
Yes.
We know that the trajectory, without question, can improve. The most important thing that, with regard to, I just really want to focus on third grade, because we already know that high schools, you know, made unbelievable gain. The hardest place to make the gain is in third grade. And in terms of third grade, we have seen increases in 30 schools. Mm-hmm. That's significant. The single most important thing we can do, and this plan helps us to do this, is to prevent reading difficulties from even happening. That is our goal. That's what we're committed to. And the first three items on this plan really help us to focus on that. Without question, the ELA office is mobilized on this plan. The partnerships that we have in the city and beyond the city are helping us to achieve. All of the external partnerships that we are involved in are targeting anywhere from pre-K up through actually grade 5, because we do see some, you know, students lagging in grades 4 and 5 as well. By the time they get to 6 and higher, we see significant increases, all the way to an almost 50-point increase at the high school level. Wow. So we're super excited to do this.
That's good. So what are the things you think that we could get the most bang for our buck in terms of the 10 points there? What do you think is the...
So without question, tutoring, and that was number one on the list. Yeah. One-to-one tutoring has great research to support it. It has already begun. The superintendent and the chief told us we needed to begin on day one, and so tutoring has begun on day one. Tutoring coordinators are on board. There's structures in place because we've done this before. Mm-hmm. But you know, as educators, that what happens during the course of the school day has the most significance, because that's where we have our students. Mm-hmm. And so really looking at the impact of books that children see themselves in. I was in a classroom yesterday, and second grade, and the children were learning about the Women of G's Bend. Hmm. And I mean, I would love to have recorded it, because they were talking about what the question they were focused on was how are the what happened to the Women of G's Bend when their quilts became art objects. Mm-hmm. And these are second graders engaged in that level of conversation. Mm-hmm. The curriculum will make the most significant difference at a school level. And the curriculum has been really invested with the whole concept that our children must see themselves in the text, and they must have windows beyond the text, such as G's Bend is not Newark. And but obviously there's a relationship. So I think those two pieces. And then the last for us in the schools right here is writing. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I was delighted when I saw the writing piece in here, because it is like, in order to pass our state assessment, you must write well. And you must write well about text. That has been the emphasis. And now we have an amazing partner, the Writing Revolution, who are out of New York City. And we are a major partner of theirs. They are in our schools from K through grade 12. And we are already seeing impact from that work.
Nice.
Excellent.
Okay, so Dr. Riley, you kind of already went over like some of the things that the schools are doing. You said implementing one-on-one tutoring, selecting books that reflect cultural and ethnic backgrounds, mm-hmm. incorporating more writing. You did kind of explain like some, you already see changes and improvements. So how soon, or could you explain the role parents are expected to play in this action plan and why their involvement is so critical and impactful?
Sure. So our most critical partners are parents. And guardians. And there's probably several things here. Number four on our list is about enrolling children in pre-K. And one of the huge advantages of students enrolled in pre-K, especially at age 3 and 4, mm-hmm. is that the national average for students exiting pre-K in this country is knowing 25 known letters by the time they end, not in kindergarten, but enter kindergarten. Mm-hmm. We don't see that gain consistently with our executive director overseeing pre-K. Mm-hmm. We have cleaned up some of the disconnects in curriculum, and I think we'll see more. But where does that work actually live? It lives in the home. Mm-hmm. Right. It is the incidental conversations parents are having every day with their children. It's pointing out your name begins with this letter, and we see this letter over here. All of that work helps children to be ready for school in profound ways. And parents play the most important role for that. Number five was reading aloud to the children. It's both reading aloud and talking. It's actually as simple as talking with your children. When they sit in front of a TV, it's not receptive language, so it's different. Just having a few minutes of conversation with your children. How did the day go? You know, what did you learn? Any of those kinds of questions helps. And then the reading aloud piece is obviously really important. And that happens in the home when you're sitting with your children. And by the way, it doesn't have to be for hours. It's 5 minutes. You know, I really want to, as a mom, mm-hmm. I can remember the days where, you know, you're really tired from working all day and you come home and the last thing you want to do is read a long book. And inevitably, my child would always hand me a long book. But and I would do what every other parent did. I would skip sections mm-hmm. until she kind of figured out I was doing that. So reading to your children, talking with your children, being good citizens in terms of being part of the school community, all of those things really matter.
Right. And Dr. Brown, did you want to add to that? Like, the role the parents will play in this plan?
Absolutely. I think that number one, just the idea that literacy doesn't start in school, mm-hmm. right? Literacy starts in the womb. I can't stress that enough, that engaging in conversations with an unborn child that's in your womb and reading to them, playing music, you actually build in a lexicon for your child because they're becoming familiar with words that we're adding to the bank. And I think that that's one of the things that conversations do, and intentionality around vocabulary. I think that we don't think our young people can take rigor, and that's the first 7 years of a child's life are the most important, and their brains are sponges. It's actually harder to get it into your brain after that point. So you can teach a young child different languages. You can read them. You can teach them vocabulary. Take advantage of this super speed lightning period that they have where they can learn as much as possible. And I think that we don't think our young people can handle it, and they can. And so we just want to start empowering parents and What are you doing when they're in a room? Are you reading to them? I also want to talk about, it's not just about one book a day. Research says that there's a 1 million word gap that's out there. And basically, if you read 5 books a day, you can close that 1 million gap. And it goes on and on, like one book, 200,000. If you do 2 books a day, you're adding to that word bank. And so I just do want to talk about the empowerment that you have to do that. And I also want to talk about asking the questions that make the difference. The questions we're asking parents to make show up on a test, right? It's not just writing about the text, but it's also saying, hey, what do you think is going to happen? What prediction can you make? Let's stop right now. And what is that based on? Go back in the story and show me points, context clues, right, where you see that they'll be able to, they're going to do something nefarious, right? They're dangerous. I'm like, well, when he smirked or when he did all this. And then read the book and see if the prediction is right. Now, that seems like we can all ask those questions. When you look on the third grade test, that is what they're asked to do. Go back in the text, right, and unpack that vocabulary. Where did you get that from? Which passage best support that is the right answer to that? So that's like 2 or 3 questions that have them do that strategy. So imagine if we start that strategy as a child. Kids are inquisitive. So if you pause the book and say, what do you think is about that? I'm like, oh, my God. You know, you're creating suspense. And again, you're making it fun. And I think that that's another disservice. We make learning so boring, and we forget that child development is an important part of learning, right? How can you make this fun and engaging that they will want to do it and bring a different attitude to the process? So that's what parents can do.
All right.
So since you talked about the womb, I'd like to talk about a little prenatal stuff. Like, you know, a lot of women who are pregnant, what should they be doing outside of just, you know, reading and talking to the baby? Is there some specific steps, both of you can chime in here, that they should be doing, easy things that they can do to know that they're doing the right thing for their child?
Now, this may not seem like we're dealing with literacy, but I cannot stress enough about taking your vitamins, getting prenatal care, connecting to either a free health clinic or going to a OBGYN to get that support, because brain development starts in the womb. So if we're not eating the right foods, right, and it's becoming a barrier to brain development. And I just can't say that enough. Are you eating vegetables? Are you taking prenatal vitamins? Are you getting your daily checkups? And I did this thing where there are apps, right, that tell you what you should be doing, right, and what is happening this week, right, and how to aid that. And so we have earphones that you can put on your belly, and it reads stories to you. Now, we also want to create bonding. The child needs to hear the parent voice. You can sing ABCs. You can sing songs that matter. You can read books that matter. But again, I don't want to underscore getting prenatal care, right? Just reading and having a poor diet and not getting enough exercise is harming. Those things are harming the child. So that's some things that prenatal care. But again, I'm not an OBGYN, but I just did want to stress those things.
And I would simply add, I think after the child is born, the single most important thing parents do is help their child to name the world.
Mm-hmm.
That's the building of vocabulary.
Absolutely.
Naming and it's on common things. This is a bottle. This is a backpack. This is a desk. It's that naming of the world that opens the child to be able to be successful when the word is then photosynthesis in third grade.
Right.
They're building all that knowledge ahead of time.
Can I add to that? Reminds me of Color Purple. Right. You know that scene where they put the tags up? Mm. That is a good process,
like
good strategy.
Sight words.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
So what are the outcomes that are we expecting from this, Dr. Riley? What are some outcomes?
Yeah, so I can be really concrete. The outcomes in literacy is to move us to about 50% in this year.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more than double the current.
For third grade.
Yeah, we have to just, everyone has to be rowing in the right way and focused on third grade. And again, the reason for that is simple. It is the entry point for students to continue to build knowledge in discipline. It gets harder in third grade because of the disciplinary knowledge we have
right,
to build.
Right.
So the director for ELA, Jesseline Othman, she and I just reviewed benchmarks.
Right.
And the benchmarks are high. I will also tell you the benchmarks are high in mathematics. We just went through a presentation to the board on September was our plan for mathematics with the new director, Amanda Grossi, and Ms. Othman will be presenting in October to the board. We need to have measures that, not measures, but we need to have goals that are concrete, because when you have goals, you stand a chance of meeting them because you know what they are.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, citywide, what does that look like, Dr. Brown, in your mind? What does success or outcomes look like citywide?
Basically, this is a new iteration of the NORC Literacy Coalition. There's actually community partners. MBOE is also a part of that, Rutgers University, and it's expanding. These are collective agencies that's getting us together and saying, literacy is not just a parent's problem, and it's not just an MBOE problem. And so basically, they're coordinating literacy events. They're supporting developing resources that they can give to parents. For instance, one of the projects that's coming up is a CRADL project that's actually coordinating resources to support prenatal care. Coordination like that happening around the city gives the support. I just got a call from different agencies like Rutgers who are training parents to be armed to tutor. That is the type of resource gathering and collective impact that's going to help. And so our outcomes may look different from MBOE because they actually, these are the numbers. We want to see difference in the numbers. Outcomes for us is how have we coordinated to support the schools that definitely are struggling? Did we identify those schools? Did we send resources? Did we train and develop parents? If we're doing those things, those are the outcomes that we want to see and make them sustainable. We don't want this to be, hey, this is the 10-point plan, the literacy plan that the mayor put out. It stops after 2-3 years. We want this to be a way of life, right? How we ensure that from then on, we don't have this problem again.
Right.
I have something.
No, I think I'm done, Mayor.
Yeah, just you have any last things you think is important for folks to know, Dr. Riley?
Yeah, I think that Newark as a city is poised to do work that is unusual. The problem that we're discussing isn't unusual in cities. But to have you involved in leading it, to have the superintendent connected in leading it, to have no one confused about the importance of this, and to have strategies that aren't cumbersome, right? There's not 10,000 things to do. There's 10 things. And these 10 things translate very well. I look forward to seeing what we do. I am positive about this, not because I'm pie in the sky, but because there's actual work being done. And when the work is being done and goals are set and no one's confused, children benefit. And that's that is our goal.
Excellent. So I want to thank both of you ladies for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you.
Very serious and informative discussion for us and our listeners. So we appreciate that, and thank you for coming on. We'll bring you back.
Yeah.
And talk about some of this stuff later on.
Later on down the line.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Staying on the topic of our 10-point youth literacy plan, it's time to welcome our second set of guests to the show. Newark Public Library Director Christian Zabriskie and Director of Community Engagement from the United Way of Greater Newark, Karen Leach Toomer. Thank both of you guys for joining us. All right. Well, thank you guys for getting on with us today. Thank you again, starting with you, Christian. I know this is a new role. How long have you been in this role now?
3 months, sir.
3 months. That's a long time, brother. Just talk a little bit about the template. I want you to talk a little about the template you've literally actually planned and how the library is involved in this. Like, why is the library important in this plan?
Well, first off, I'm really excited about the 10-point action plan. I really appreciate the investment in early childhood education. And I was in a conversation earlier today, And I was saying that for me, literacy is love. It is all about love. It is the act of loving your child, and it is the act of empowering your child. And as people today are talking about a lot of the stuff around libraries and banning books and that kind of thing, nobody's trying to control books, they're trying to control children. And this kind of a plan, this activated plan with its 18 points, things that we can build on, is a real way of putting genuine power in children's hands, in their minds, really. Now, for us at the library, this stuff is our bread and butter. We believe in this deeply. One of the things that I want to try and do, and which I look forward to working together with folks on, is activating our branches. I tell people all the time, there's a space in your community that's well-lit, free, open, safe, and bring your kids there and make that part of their lives. And your community libraries, the libraries in your neighborhoods, are where a lot of that's going to live.
It's great. And Karen, the United Way of Greater Newark, I know you guys know that literacy is important. What are some of the ways that your organization is contributing to encouraging literacy?
Well, one thing that we've really made important is getting books in the hands of children. And through programs like Raising a Reader, My Very Own Library, and now we're continuing to provide books for early childhood, doing special events, Black Men Read, as you participated last year. Mm-hmm. Once again, we'll host that. Multilingual Reading Day, where we have authors of different cultures come in and read to the children, tell their stories, and have books that look like the children in the community.
Why do you think that's important, though? Like,
it's important because I always say with my own children, we press and push for reading, but when we see books, when we see authors, when we see excitement,
right,
that's what really drives the children to read. If they see stories that reflect what they look like, their community, goals, career goals, different, you know, science books, making sure that everyone is different. It's not one size fits all.
Right,
so
right.
Through our programs, we like to provide a variety of books. That way the children can select. We used to laugh because a lot of books had kittens and puppies on them.
Right, right, right.
And the kids would walk past them. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, oh, that's cute, but it just didn't interest them. So we
right.
have a very conscious effort to have culturally relevant books.
Right,
available.
Right.
I just want to jump in and say that I see that as being so important, both in my work in libraries, and I really appreciate the focus on that. It's an important part of our collection, particularly here at NARC. And I'm a father of a multiracial family. We have a mixed race family. My daughter is Puerto Rican and Bangladeshi biologically, but she's been raised by me. My boy's white. Representation is something we talk about all the time mm-hmm. in our house. And my daughter sees it every time. And we open a book and she will tell you where the skin gradation is for her with that character. And that's a reality of my life all the time as we're reading things.
And, I mean, do you feel that the representation encourages children to get excited about reading and they feel more encouraged to...
1,000%.
Absolutely. I remember there was a book and the little girl had, like, an afro. Mm. And my daughter looked at the book and said, wow, she looks like me.
Mm. Mm. Right.
She said, can I have a bow in my hair like this little girl? And she picked up that book.
Mm.
So it definitely, you know, helps. And because we have so many different cultures in the city... You know, we're very conscious if we're going in the West Ward, you know, we like to have books that are Haitian Creole. Mm-hmm. Going in the East Ward, we want to have Portuguese books, Spanish books.
Right.
So we want to make sure everyone's included.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So what are some of the programming that's coming up in the fall in the library you think is important for readers to know, I mean, listeners to know about, you know, what's going on?
We got all kinds of stuff happening at the library. I mean, I would just ask people, you know, check out our website because there is so much stuff going on. I mean, an average day at the library, we'll have a voguing team upstairs. We'll have story time going down on the first floor. I walked in on a session. There were 50 people learning ASL as a means of creating entrepreneurial work for themselves. We had a job cert. We had a job fair and had 800 people come through the building in the course of the day. You know, we have all kinds of cultural events. We had Kwame Alexander. Yeah. We were talking about representation. We had Kwame Alexander there. We had a full, you know, group of kids you know, teenager, so a little older than this, in our Jabbar Center, the James Brown African Research Center. And what an incredible thing. There were all these kids, and there he is, and there it is in this center that is dedicated to this community. And, you know, I just, you know, we've got a lot of really exciting stuff coming up. We always have exciting stuff. And if there's something that you need, we want to hear that too. Mm. And so, for me, the physical contact thing, sir, I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, it's okay.
But for me, I always, again, I go back to literacy is love. That moment when, you know, when we're doing story time with a kid, you're not doing Lexiles. You're not trying to do name, you know, common word sight recognition with a three-year-old. You're not doing that. You shouldn't be. But what you are doing is you're establishing that reading is near daddy, is near mama. Mm-hmm. It happens on their lap. It happens at bedtime. And that child will associate that with love and freedom.
And would you encourage like parents to come to the library and encourage and engage in like story time?
Yes. Yeah. And spend time with us and watch how my librarians do story time and ask them and they'll find you anything. I mean, I have people who work with me who literally are waiting for you to come through the door and ask them how you can better help your kid and what books your kid might like. And that goes for everybody. I mean, I had this incredible opportunity. I was a public librarian, and I was a public librarian to Michael Douglas and Catherine Zeta-Jones at one point. It was amazing. But they were just Mr. and Mrs. Douglas, and they had a right to have a space for their kid, too. And their kid was really into medieval warfare, and that was what their kid liked. So everybody, no matter where you are on the spectrum, you have a right to have a connection with your library, with your kid.
So what are some of the things you think should we be looking for in terms of improvement or objective? We asked the earlier guests, what are some of the objectives that they wish to see out of this 10-point literacy program? Mm-hmm. I'd like to pose that to you guys, you know, from a different level. These are educators and academicians. You guys, you know, how would you, you know, look at success, or what would be the objective of this 10-point literacy program for you?
I think as a partner with you in this plan, success for us would be, you know, we're celebrating our 100-year anniversary.
Right.
And having folks in the community provide support, donate books. You know, sometimes kids outgrow books. You know, you don't want to throw them away.
Right.
So if we can continue to provide books in the community, that's success to us and that need. If you have parents say, are you guys still giving away books? You know, that makes us feel good, and that makes us work harder to get those donations to provide more books.
Donate some books, y'all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And who should they contact to donate the books if they wanted to donate
them? They can visit our website, and you can find my email there, Karen Leach-Toomer, Director of Community Engagement, and, you know, any donation, monetary or books, you know, we'll gladly accept that. And then we can definitely expand our reach to more children.
Okay.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good.
I mean, for me, it's books in hands. It's always books in hands. And it's kids at story time, and it's parents making it part of their lives, you know. And this is what I really love about this plan, is that it's engendering this process. It's getting literacy and reading into kids' lives early and making it a habit. I've had a lot of times in my life, in my career, where I've seen people who had maybe one or two really amazing experiences in a library as a child. And I will see that person for a decade. I will see that person, and their children will come in. And that is how we create these kind of cycles of literacy and library usage. And so that, for me, come through the doors. Have your moment. Meet my people. Have this moment of discovery, and we're here for you.
All right.
That's good stuff.
I'm done. I think that covers everything.
Any last things that you want to offer about the library, about United Way, or anything about this plan that you think you want to impart on folks before we go?
Well, we're going to have our annual celebrity read again in February.
Nice.
I lost count. We're at about 35 years
of
doing that.
Wow.
And that is an opportunity where everyone in the community can feel like a celebrity and come in and read to children. And people are so surprised that once they're sitting in front of the children, they ask, well, how old are you?
That's right.
Where do you work?
They sure do.
What do you do? So it's a way to really, you know, explain who we are to children. And you never know who you're inspiring one day to hear, you know, oh, I went to this college, or, you know, this is the career I pursued. So I think, you know, that's exciting for us. So that will be in February in commemoration of Black History Month. So.
Wonderful. That's very true. How you get to be a man?
If people want to participate in that, how do they go about doing that?
Again, they can contact, you know, myself at KarenLeachTumor@uwnewark.org, and you can find me on our website. And any, you know, literacy activities that are coming up, you know, we love to partner with other organizations. So we're here to help.
Okay.
Nice. Okay. Amazing. And I just ask, find your local library. Find the library in your neighborhood and spend some time there and talk to the librarians. And spend some time there with your kids and have your kids see you get a book. And show them what that looks like, what it looks like when Papa or Mama or Auntie or Granny browses. Right. And pulls a book. And, you know, I had a moment with a gentleman and his daughter, and I pulled some books on art for them. And one of the books was about printmaking. And this dad said to his daughter, you know, honey, we got some linoleum at home. We could try this when you want. And that is the stuff. Those are the moments that make our work really worthwhile. So just come and see us. We're here for you.
Right.
Excellent. Just want to thank both of you for getting on with us. Bringing the show to a close. We appreciate you. Love to bring you back and talk more about both of the organizations, institutions, things you're doing in the city. So look out for us. We may try to bring you back and talk more about that. And I love getting people more involved with the library. Of course, of course. I mean, I have my library card in my wallet right now. So, you know, thank you for getting on. We appreciate you. See you guys next time.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you to our guest, Chief Education Officer, Dr. Sharnay Brown, Assistant Superintendent of Newark Board of Education, Dr. Marianne Riley, United Way of Greater Newark Director of Community Engagement, Karen Leach-Tumor, and the Newark Public Library Director, Christian Jabrisky. Make sure you share this episode and all other episodes of Rising 60 with your family, friends, and social circles to stay updated on the many, many exciting initiatives that are transforming our city, Newark. And again, there is no such thing as a child who hates to read. There are only children who have not found the right book. Frank Serafini. God bless you. Godspeed. Next time.